chapter 2, there's something we know that the Bible doesn't say when it says she went to glean. It never says that Ruth went to glean in the corners, but we know that it was the corners. But we also know that Boaz instructed his reapers to leave some on handful on purpose and to leave even some among the sheaves. But this morning, and this is real important to start off with this message tonight, I want to preach a message tonight called Called to the Corners. And I'm going to tell y'all something tonight. I preach this message, I expect God to call some people to the corners. You can't tell me that God sends people to church all their life and doesn't call people. I don't believe that. And this message tonight, I think, will help you, especially if you have a desire to serve the Lord. And so I'd really ask you to listen, not because I'm preaching it, because it's just part of the Word of God and it's a message from the Word of God. This morning we looked at Ruth as a believer, as an individual believer, and we looked at her as a believer gleaning all of her life from the Word of God, the bread of life, the grains, the bread, the things to feed her soul with. That's how we looked at her. There are layered areas and stories in this book and applications. Tonight I want to look at her as a servant of the Lord, as a believer in Christ, who has been called to the corners of this world to glean souls. Now listen to me tonight. God never calls anybody to glean out of his word for just themselves. Now this is important. There are people in this world who are, they know the Bible from kibber to kibber. But that's it. And they get cankered. And they get argumentative. And they want to debate with everybody. And they want to strive. And they want to puff their knowledge up. And the things that they've gleaned, they never take it to anybody else. And what I'm going to preach tonight, it's biblical. It's important. And let me tell you about gleaning. If you're just gleaning the Bible for you, that's good as long as you don't let it become internalized in a sense of, you know, you just read the Bible for yourself. No, God never wants us to go out and glean, but what we take, what we've gleaned to other people. She gleaned and she took it back to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law, I'm assuming, must have been of age, maybe in physical condition. She didn't go out to glean. And Ruth took what she gleaned, and she took it to somebody else. So I want to preach tonight her gleaning in the sense not as what she's gleaning out of the Word for her own personal growth, but what she's gleaning in the harvest field of God's work. Now, I want to tell you something I know about everyone in this building tonight, and I know about myself. Our Christianity was never designed to just be locked within our own hearts and to our own minds and souls. God saved us to take the gospel to other people, to serve him. God saved us to get it out to other people. And what I'll tell you tonight is this, you will never be fully satisfied and content in the Lord until you do this, in whatever manner God has called you to do it. Now let me tell you tonight, before we get started, when I preach on calling, being called to the corners, the thing I love about this message, this isn't just about preachers. It's not about missionaries. Although it is, that's just the start of it. Every one of you have a corner that you live in. You have corners you're going by. You live in a corner of this world. And God wants you to take what you've gleaned out of his word to your corner. There's an old song. I don't know it very well. Brighten the corner where you are, brighten the corner where you are. And that's all I know of it. Anybody else know any more of it? Anyway, we ought to learn that song a little bit. I don't know. It had been so long, but it came to my mind. Brighten where? The corner where you are. Now, in order to get a hold of this, let's go to... So anyway, that's the way we're looking at her tonight, is not as just gleaning from the Word for her life, for her spiritual growth. Now we're looking at her gleaning so she can help other people and she can minister God's Word to other people in the world. And here's the simple thing. God gave her some corners for her to labor in. You say, Reggie, how do you know that? Because I know the law of the reapers. So there's three parts to the harvest. In the Bible, there's the first fruits, okay, and that was to be given to God in the feast of the first fruits. I walked over to my seat tonight, and there's a jar of honey. And guess what's written on the jar of honey? First fruits. Somebody harvested honey out of their bees this week, and they give me the first fruits. I mean, you know, giving it unto the Lord, and you know, and man alive, that's so sweet, and I appreciate it. But it's funny, I'm preaching on this night, and I'll get to church, and somebody's got a jar of honey. It says first fruits. And the law of first fruits says that when your crops came up, now what happens with the crop when it starts to ripen, there's always some first fruits that ripen first. The grapes or the wheat or whatever, there was some stuff that ripened early. And they were to go in and get those early ripened first fruits, and they were to give those to the Lord. And there's a whole doctrinal deal on that. I've preached on that in time past, but that's a whole deal. But where it really is at for us tonight, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 of your Bible, it says, it's talking about the resurrection. And it says, Christ the first fruits. Okay? Then it talks about the harvest. And then it talks, then come at the end. And we'll deal with this just a little bit. But there's different aspects now of this whole application of this story. But there's the first fruits, and that's in Leviticus 23. And then there's the harvest. When we're talking about the harvest now in general, and Jesus talked about that in John 4. Then there's what they called the harvest and basically the general harvest. We had the first fruits, and they took it. They gave it to the Lord. The process of that feasting time, the general harvest came. So then they sent the reapers in. And I mean, here they come with their scythes. And boy, I mean, down it went. And going up there and bundling it together, putting it together in shocks and taking it down to the threshing floor, began their threshing. There's a beautiful, beautiful, well, I'll tell you, if you want to know about your Lord Jesus Christ, you see him sleeping at the foot of the heap of grain. Mm. You just need to meditate on that all week long. Because you and I are the grain that's being harvested, right? According to New Testament scripture. You know where he's at in this story? At night, at midnight, he is sleeping at the grain heap. He's watching over his harvest. Ain't nobody going to steal his grain in the middle of the night. You're talking about good. But anyway, I wasn't even preaching on that. What are we going to do? Then you had the first fruits given to the Lord. Then you had the main harvest. And then you had what's called the gleanings. Now, the gleanings were what had been dropped or what wasn't ripe at the time. But mostly it was, and then let's go back to, I want you to go to Leviticus 23 tonight. We'll just take a little time, and I'll try to keep moving. Leviticus 23, we're going to look at this in order to really get the good and the sweet. Oh, my goodness, my glasses just fell out. Anyway, is that a sign from heaven? Boy, okay, we hope it works there. All right, Leviticus chapter 23, and let's look at verse number 9. And I want you to take a little bit of time to get there. It says in verse number 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying unto them, when ye be come into the land which I shall give you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now, this is the law of first fruits right here, all right? Now, then I want you to go to, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, when we want to get into, go to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and the law of gleaning here. I'm kind of running around a little bit tonight, and it'll take me a little bit to get my go-kart straightened out, but we'll go here pretty little bit. You ever get on a horse in the morning, and a horse just bucks and wants to run 14 circles? It takes a little while to get the buck out of it, and then pretty soon you take off. That's kind of like my preaching is. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 24, let's look at verses 19. I don't want to wait for you to get there. I want you to see this tonight, what it's, kind of get the idea of the whole tone of the law of reaping. There is no cultural, religious, or any other guidance system in the world outside of the Bible that God gave any nation that has the wisdom and the grace and the goodness that God gave Moses when he wrote the book, wrote these things. By the way, this is what God said. If you read this, meditate on it, and apply it to life, you'll be blessed. Now, verse number 19, Deuteronomy 24, everybody there say amen. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Well, who is Ruth? She's a widow. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy work and thy hands. Now listen to me tonight. There's something that we need to get down. Everybody wants to be blessed. God gives us a principle of life here that the things that God has given you and entrusted you with and blessed you with, God wants you to share that with the poor, the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow. God wants you to be able to help those people. He wants our labor. He wants our land. He wants our businesses to be able to help those that are poor, who don't have what we have. And that's God's system. That's God's way of being a blessing to them. He said, if you'll do this, that God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Can I say something to you? Let's not be tight-wadded people. Let's just don't be counting pinching pennies. As we have opportunity, the Bible said, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And if God's blessed you, look for people to help. I'm going to give you some advice. Watch here in church. There's always somebody doing well in church and always somebody ain't doing so well. Pray, be sensitive, don't make a scene about it, but look for people you can help in church. Look for widows. Look for a child who doesn't have a daddy. Look for somebody. I mean, look for somebody to help. And that's God says, I'll bless you if you'll do that. Now, he said in verse 20, when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. He said, are you coming in there and you've had your first fruits? Now he said, you're in the harvest, and they would beat the limbs of that olive tree and it would shake out. Okay, just like the pecan trees. How many's ever seen them pecan shaking machines? Man, they go down to South Pecan Orchards. They got a machine that'll walk up there and shakes that tree. And then they got a machine comes down through and just cleans it all up on the ground. He said, you go in there and beat that olive tree. He said, there's going to be some that are still green. They're not ripe yet. And they're not going to come off the branch because they're still on there. They're not ripe. He said, don't come back and get those. He said, you leave those olives on that for those poor people that's coming through. He said, you leave that stuff for them. This is God's poverty program. I wished LBJ would have read his Bible. Then verse 21. Then when thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard. So you've got the field, you've got the olive, your orchard, and then you have your vineyard. Verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless widow. Thou shalt remember, and so forth. And he said, you remember where you came from, the pit that God brought you out of. And so these are the laws of gleaning that God gave. Now, as I said a while ago, in the harvest, there was the first fruits, there was the general harvest, and there was the gleanings. And that gleaning took place after the general harvest. Now, in John chapter 4, let's go to John chapter 4. And I know this is a little bit rambling, but we're learning and we're going to just feed on the word of God tonight. And we're just going to graze in a good old alfalfa patch. I'm going to tell you, we're in an alfalfa patch. We're in an alfalfa patch. Amen. John chapter 4, Jesus speaking over there in verse number 34. He said, say not ye, yet there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, he says, let's do something. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, there's something about this phrase, lift up your eyes. What does that indicate? You know what it kind of indicates? That we're not looking. We're looking at a very short distance. We're not seeing out yonder. We're not seeing eternity. We're not seeing the needs out there. I said this morning, my dad for a few years back when I was in about junior high was a juvenile officer in this the court district here, about three counties. And my dad dealt with very, very tough situations of children who had been abused or gotten in trouble. But a lot of his work as a juvenile officer was working with children that had been abused by parents or by relatives. And the home was an absolute mess. And I mean, some of the stuff he had to deal with was horrible, 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 okay? But my dad, the judge that my dad worked under, he was very trusting of my daddy. And oftentimes my dad would bring young men, 13, 14, 8, 10, were home with us. And they just lived with us in the interim time when the court would find a place for them. And they milked with us, and they ate at our table, and just everything. I mean, you know, they just became part of our family. There's a boy that I remember so well. His name was Paul Sewell. Wished I knew where he's at. But I remember him so well because he was so hungry when he got to our house. And Paul would literally take a chicken bone and eat the bone. I mean, he wouldn't eat the bone, but he would break the bone with his teeth and suck the marrow out of a chicken bone. I'd never seen that before in my life. I had never, if you give him a piece of chicken, there was nothing left on that bone when he got done. And when that was all done, he would break the bone with his teeth. He literally had some strong teeth. He'd pop the bone, chicken bone with his teeth, and suck the marrow out of that. And that boy was hungry when he got there. And I'll tell you, any morsel of food he did not waste, he ate it. And here's what I'm saying, that I mentioned this morning about Hannah, and she's been working with some of the foster children. I think you ought to be careful, and I think you ought to be sure that God's in it. But it has kind of helped me to go back to those days when my dad would take kids in. Hannah, do you know how many children there are in Wright County that's needed to be in foster homes?
I think there's 150 in Wright County and
13,500 and some children, they're looking for foster homes in Missouri. That's in the system. How many in Wright County?
I think 150.
Somewhere around 150 in this county. Huh? Lane, you maybe know. Give us some. About 115 or 20 kids. And I'm going to tell you what's going on out here, folks. Now listen to me. We're living in a drug culture that's absolutely crazy. And what you've got is a lot of, you know, just telling it raw, you've got a lot of young ladies, you've got a lot of young men who are nothing but sorry, low-down drug heads who care nothing about how they leave the situation with the girl. And the girl has a baby, and then she's shacking up, and then there's abuse, and there's, you know, all kinds of things going on. And then sometimes they get into the drugs. And literally, this is honest truth. I drove by a place the other day, way back in the country, and it was early in the morning, and I pulled by this car, and something didn't look right to me. And when I come by, the doors of the car were open. When I looked in, the car looked like a literal trash pile. I'm not joking you, it was that deep in trash, both front and the back deal. And they had slept, this couple has slept there all night long. And when I stopped and I said, "Do y'all need help?" "Oh, no, we're fine." And then they popped off the quickest light there. "We've been fishing." I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, and Van mentioned to me, "Did you get any of your tools back?" "Not yet." You need to pray about it. Camp was broken into. Is it okay if I tell this, Van? Huh? Okay. Camp was broken into. He had a bunch of stuff stolen down there. And when they caught him, they were people who were just camping out. They don't live anywhere, right? They're just living down along the creek. Drug heads, and they went up there and not only stole a bunch of stuff, but they literally cooked meals inside the kitchen at camp, ate food, stole food out of the freezers and everything else. And the police and the sheriff's office told Van, "We got a plague going on right now in this part of the country, and that is the drug heads are just coming out, and they're just squatting on land. They're just living, you know, just living in a car or living in a tent or whatever." And you're in a culture now where kids are being born. And Karen and I was coming to church. Karen was telling me about what she taught in her Bible class this morning. And what was the verse you taught? And Scout was, "God is love." And she does a little hand. But, you know, I told Karen, I said, "Karen, we have forgotten what it is. We don't realize the value of taking your kids to church, being raised to know God, even a little child being taught God is love. There are kids all over this country who have no idea who God is. What God is like." Okay? Now, I've got a purpose in saying all this. I'm going to say this. I literally believe that we are past the harvest. Christ the first fruits, then the harvest, then the gleanings. I'm going to tell you why I believe that. Back about, and it broke about, I think the gleanings happened, the gleaning section moved in somewhere after World War II. Before World War II, at least in this country, it wasn't unusual to see revivals where you'd see 15, 20, 30 people saved. There's all kinds of photos you can find back in those days, and you know, back before that time, clear back in the 1800s, where you'd see people lined up on the rivers, huge, massive crowds. This book I wrote is down in Jasper, Arkansas, on the Buffalo River, near the Buffalo River. Well, the Little Buffalo runs through Jasper, runs north up into the main river, the Big Buffalo, okay? And you can buy, you know, pamphlets and books and stuff down there, and the baptisms that those people used to have in that country will shock you. The scenes, the photos, literally hundreds of people gathered for baptism services, and then have all the people that's going to get baptized down the creek. Now, let me tell you this. Now, I'm going to take you back for a little bit. Then you have, back in the days of D.L. Moody, John Wesley, all these great men of God and all the great harvest that came, and there was a great harvest of souls, okay? But it looks to me like, and I'm not trying to make anything, it just looks to me like we're in the gleanings. We're not seeing in America great big moves and huge, you know, you don't see any area of the country. Now, you'll see some fires hit up once in a while. There's a guy named Townsend back in the Carolinas right now. He's a young man, and he is holding tent revivals, and he goes into a town, and a bunch of them fundamental churches will get together. And you're hearing now, I kind of stay up with this. I'm watching it pretty close because Ronnie Simpson's son, Jeremy, helps in these crusades some. And I've caught his Facebook deal some, and they're seeing maybe 30 to 40 people they've sometimes 50 or 60 people getting saved in these tent meetings that they're having, and they're moving from town to town in the Carolinas. Have you folks heard anything on that? You do. Can you tell us anything about that? Do you know anything maybe that I'm, huh? You did.
535 people.
C.T. Townsend was in your town?
Yes, sir.
I can't believe this tonight. I'm talking about this, and these people here, they've had one.
Yeah.
There's 535 people made a profession of faith.
Yes, sir. It's about 30 or 40 every night.
30, 40 every night. Well, I've kind of been watching this thing. I mean, I'm just watching. I don't know him. I don't know. The closest I know of any of them was Jeremy Simpson. I don't know whether you know him or not, but he's, you know him? You know his dad, Ronnie? He's preached. Good grief alive. I can't believe this. Anyway, I'm not saying that there's not some harvest, but still yet to the numbers of people that are out here, it's like we're in the gleanings. I don't like a gleaning attitude when it comes to evangelism. I don't like the attitude of, well, there's just going to be a handful saved. I'd like to think of a harvest attitude, but the truth about it is the Bible teaches gleanings. So let's say this, that if we're in the gleanings time, and we're past maybe that general harvest time, which, you know, we're talking about Moody and Spurgeon and Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, with no PA system, it's estimated that there were over 1 million people documented that were saved under Billy Sunday's preaching in the 1920s and 30s, early 30s. By the way, if you've never read some of Billy Sunday's messages, he literally, when I read his messages, I feel like a spiritual wimp. That guy was so wild. He was so direct. He didn't cut a patch for anybody. Today, if he was to preach, they would crucify the guy. And they tried to back then because when he left town, the beer joints was closed. The reason you have dry counties like Newton County and Arkansas stuff to this day is because of guys like him who went in and preached on what was going on in Mace. Like they would take a county, and today, let me tell you, it would be like ridding this whole county of drugs. That's how kind of revivals they had. It's so powerful. Such a move of the Spirit of God, people being saved. That just shocks me to hear what you said. You've had a meeting down there in C.T. Townsend, 500 and some people saved at that revival meeting. I would think we was in the harvest if I saw something like that. Okay? But anyway, so I want to get this thing, I got to get going. I'm just stumbling around. I want to talk to you tonight about being called to the corners. Here's the story. Ruth, she's nobody. She's just a saved person. She doesn't have any big talent that we know about. She doesn't have a lot of experience. I guarantee she's never been to Bible college. She doesn't have any theological degrees. But she said something one day to her mother-in-law. Now listen to this. She said, "Let me go to glean in his field, in whose eyes I shall find grace." Oh, there's so much in that. Look at in Ruth chapter 2. Lord, please help me. I'm stumbling around, Lord, and I need help tonight, and I pray you'll get me lined out, straightened out, where I can preach what you give me in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 2, verse number 2, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, now this is what I want you to pray tonight. This is what I want you to say. Are you ready? I want you to say to God tonight this verse. Let me, not somebody else, let me now go. Let me look at it now. Go. Now you know Jesus said in the New Testament, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay? There's a guy from this church tonight that's in a corner. Dave, he's in a corner tonight, and he's trying to glean. He's probably not going to see 50 or 60 people saved. I wished he would. But he may see one or two or three or four or five saved. And what he's done tonight, he's went to a corner to glean. Okay? Now listen to me about being called to the corner. You're not going to get notarized as Billy Graham. You're not even going to be C.T. Townsend. You're just going to be who you are, and you're going to be in the corner where God took you, tells you to go, called to the corner. And she said, let me now go to the field. Jesus said, lift up your eyes into what? The field. And glean. Lord, I'm not a D.L. Moody. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Billy Sunday. But Lord, now you listen to me. Lord, I will be a gleaner in the corner where you've put me at. I'm in Norwood, Missouri tonight. It's a little old town that's not on most maps. When somebody emails me or calls me, generally what they say is, where's Norwood? Because we can't find it on the map. And I'm in a little corner in the Ozarks. And she said, I want to glean ears of corn. Now, this is so important. After him, Christ, Boaz, Christ. We are to go and glean after him. Now, watch this. In whose sight I shall find grace. Now, I want to tell you what that tells me. And I can tell you from experience that when you go glean in the field after Christ, you will always have grace to do the gleaning. Tonight I'm thinking about a family by the name of Teddy Angel. They're out in Colorado. I should have told you guys to go by and see them. I wasn't thinking. I get a letter from them every month or two. He took his family from back in Georgia and went out there. And I'm going to tell you, he's in a spiritually dry, absolutely dead spiritual part of the country. They have knocked and knocked and knocked on every door in that country. They've had tent meetings. They've had Bible schools. They've had this. They've had that. They've done everything you can imagine. And I'm telling you what, and I don't know how it is out there tonight, but if they have 8 or 10 people at church or one visitor, they just think heaven's come down. And you know what he's doing out there? In that little corner, and I don't even know what the name of the town is in Colorado, he's just gleaning. You're going to pick up a grain every once in a while for God's sake. Every once in a while, you'll read a report. Well, we had one saved. They're gleaning. Nobody, this world doesn't even know about them. There are nobody and they're nothing compared to this world. There are couples tonight down in Paraguay and in Venezuela and in Africa and in Canada. And in Alaska. And they're just out there gleaning. And they're nobody in this world's eyes. But they're gleaning. They don't write back and say we had 12 saved last Sunday. They don't write back and say we had 200 in church. They're weeping. They're wondering. God, are we where you want us to be? Lord, we're not seeing much. But they're gleaning. You don't see great big arms full when you're gleaning usually. You're picking up stalks of corn, one at a time. I want to say this too because gleaners need encouragement. I'm not a big John Deere combine. And this is so funny, me preaching this tonight. One time Oscar Cunningham said to me, and the reason I say Oscar a lot of times because he was just somebody, he was a preacher that, you know, I was around. That's it. So if you're around somebody, you're talking. And he said to me, I'll never forget this, about the second or third Sunday that I'd been preaching. He said, now, Reggie, He said, there's some great big old John Deere four-wheel drive tractors out here. And he said, man, when they pull in the field, he said, the crop comes down. He said, probably you're going to be a little 8-in Ford. He said, Reg, you don't try to be a big John Deere four-wheel drive tractor in a little garden patch of God's. He said, there's little gardens of the Lord's work. Listen to this. You're talking about wisdom. He said, there's little gardens in the work of the Lord where a four-wheel drive, great big John Deere tractor would do nothing but tear all the fences and the crop up. He said, if God calls you to just be a little old harvester in a little old patch, he said, just go in there and try not to damage things too bad. Try not to tear everything up. But he said, there'll be things you can do with as being a little preacher that you could never do as a big preacher. Pretty good wisdom. We're called to the corner. We are, I believe, past the main harvest. We're in the gleanings. We're called to the corners, the unseen places, the unseen people, the unreached people. I want to ask you tonight, will you go and reap some corners like Ruth did? There's a song Karen and I used to sing. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. I like that little phrase, little is much when God is in it. Let me tell you what America's needing, what Norwood needs, where you work needs, everywhere you're at, what they need somebody who's gleaning in the corners. Will you go and reap some corners like Ruth did? 1 Corinthians 15:58 has always been a wonderful encouragement to me. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Well, the Ozarks is just a little corner of the world, isn't it? Aren't you glad? But you know what? I'm glad that there were some missionaries came into the Ozarks. I'm glad there were some missionaries who came down to over here by down by the river, Norfolk, Hammond Camp. There was an old military bank. There was an old military barracks that had been left after World War II down there. And some missionaries came in this country and they asked if they could buy that. They bought that old military barracks, had a bunch of old military barracks where they kept soldiers and stuff, and they made cabins out of it, and they started a camp called Hammond Camp. That's the first Bible camp I ever went to in my life. And there were missionaries who came in there and started Bible camp, went out to all the churches. Oscar and Gladys Cunningham, when they came in this country, he was raised over here around Salem, but he had went to Illinois. He got it in Illinois and was saved. Actually, he came back down to one of his dad's meetings or his dad's service. He was sitting in the window of the church. Believe this or not, sitting in the window. Now, can you imagine being in the church, you're sitting in the window? There was a guy in the Bible who did that, fell off. Anyway, but he was sitting in the window that night, and God saved him that night. He went back to Illinois, and on the way back to Illinois, he said, it was crossing the Mississippi River, and I turned over and told Gladys I'd been called to preach. Went back up there, got involved in the church, began to study for the ministry, and he was cutting meat at a grocery store. Now listen to me. And he just began waiting on the Lord, preparing to serve the Lord, and when the Lord dealt with him, they brought him. He hooked up with what's called the American Sunday School Mission. And guess where they sent him? Right back down here. And he come down here in Douglas County and all this country in here, and he just started. I can remember when they had Bible schools at Skyline School in the summertime. They would get to talk to school and let them use it for Bible schools, the public school. They would have Bible clubs at high schools. Then in 1963, they built Camp Joy. He preached revivals. But what they were doing, they came down here in this little old corner. I can be honest with you, the Ozarks is a nowhere place. Generally speaking, you know, there's people that only want to get near here because there's not all the stuff that there used to be. I like it that way, amen. I want to keep it a corner. I guess I'm selfish. But what I'm saying to you is I'm glad that people of faith, missionaries, came into this little corner of the world. And you can believe this or not. I don't care whether you believe this or not. I can remember as about a three-year-old boy standing out in front of Oak Forest Church and Oscar talking to me, just being friendly. Like I would a little boy coming up here at church. I remember it. I remember it. I'd almost take you to the spot. And little did I know all those years that because somebody came to my corner of the world, any of you people have got any good out of Camp Joy? It's because somebody came to a corner. I said tonight I want to kind of dedicate this to Terry, and I'm not putting Terry above any of the other men that go at all. I just Terry in the sense of that Terry has always kind of been interested in jail ministry. That jail ministry is kind of a dirty corner of the world. Yeah. And you men who go over there, all of you, you walk back in there, I don't think you got used to the smell yet, have you? You'd have to be in there all the time. Last time I was there, it stunk like garbage pit. But there's a corner over tonight that most people wouldn't give a dime to go in. But those men are going to a corner and they're gleaning. Now, boys, I want to give you some encouragement, you men who go over there. You're gleaning in a corner tonight, just like Ruth gleaned. And it's important work. Years ago, we began to glean at the corners. Truck stops are usually at corners. And God began to help us to glean at the corners. And the stories I've had blow you out of my mind. If I told you who this was, some of you would know. There's a man in a church who we used to, years ago, 25 years ago, play ball against our school. And he had a lot of trouble. He was serving the Lord at one time, had a lot of trouble. He used to milk cows, used to farm. Everything went south. He started driving a truck. I hadn't seen him in years. I got a call from him one day. He said, Reggie, this is so-and-so. And I said, yeah. I said, how in the world you doing? He began to talk to me about what happened in his life. He said, Reggie, I was at a truck stop, and I don't know where in the world he was. I could not believe it. And he said, Reggie, I come through there, and he said, I just glanced over on the counter, and he said, there's a bunch of message CDs. He said, there's a bunch of different boxes. And he said, I just stopped, and I just kind of started going through them. And he said, all of a sudden, and this is funny, he said, I saw your name and the church's name. He said, I picked it up and it said, the message was the one about load being too heavy. Does anybody remember the message? When their load exceeds your limits. He said, I'm a trucker. He said, Reggie, I've hauled loads, tried not to haul loads that exceeded the limits on my trailer. But he said, Reggie, I've been hauling a load that exceeded the limits of my soul. And I want to encourage the church tonight that we're just little old gleaners. We're a little old church in the middle of nowhere. But we're gleaning in the corners of the world. And I want you to know it's important work. When you pray, when you attend church here, when you give, when you help, when you do what you do, you need to understand you're gleaning. I want to tell you, men at the jailhouse, keep gleaning. We're out there in sermon audio into the corners of the world. You people don't get as much response to understand me as Karen and I do. Just trust me. We're gleaning. We are gleaning. I want to say a word of encouragement tonight to Van and those of you who work at Camp Joy. That's a gleaning work. You're going to reach kids that this church will never reach. Has no potential probably ever. Van, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall do what? Reap. If we what? Faint not. When you go down there, just say, Lord, I'm in a little old spot. Lord, help us to glean souls while we're there. I'm going to tell you what we need tonight in this country. Now you listen to me tight. When the church quits gleaning, the church is soon going to get in trouble. England at one time gave the gospel to the world, and now there's more mosques in England than there are churches. We need church planters. We need men, women who are willing to go out into a corner somewhere where they know before they go, they're never going to be no big shot. But they're willing to plant a church, start a work, rent a store, and say, Lord, I've come to glean. Let me go. Let me go glean, Lord. If America's churches do not begin to once again plant churches, it's not that we need a bunch of new churches. I'm just telling you the truth about it is, churches kind of start off good, then they cap, and then they go south, and they go apostate. And usually what happens, you have to come out, and you have to start a new work. Brother Larry Brown came up there to Washington, Iowa, and with four families or two families started that work up there about 40-some years ago now, with two or three families. You know what they did? They wound up, they just met there for a while, but they wound up and bought an old church that had just died. Great big old thing. Amazing thing about it is it's got a baptistry right underneath the pulpit. I wouldn't want one. But one Sunday when I was there, I'm going to preach for him. And they got, he was going to have baptism service. Man, a bunch of men come up there, took the pulpit, moved it over here, and all of a sudden, it was like a great fountain of the deep. The board started moving away. How many's ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? You know how the gymnasium floor starts splitting? That's about how this dude here did. And they got up there and got down there and baptized. And that old church is beautiful. You know what they did? They thought they bought that. I bet you they bought that thing for a song. And old Larry said, this'll do. And he went out there and in them cornfields of Iowa and a 10,000 town, maybe 10,000 people, maybe not that many. And he started hitting it and probably not near that much. But anyway, the first thing you know, he's running 700-800 people up there in a little corn town in Iowa, gleaning. His son now pastors that church and they're trucking on. In fact, he told me he'd come preach for him down here for me. How many would like to have Larry's boy come preach for us? That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, gleaning. But he went up there to glean. And so I just want to encourage you. You may have, there's tracks back there in that track rack. Glean. Posts on Facebook. Personal witnessing. But just get in the gleaning business somehow or another. I look at myself just as a gleaner. Now, to be a gleaner, we're going to have to be humble. I cannot be proud. I cannot be cocky. I have got to be humble. You say, who's called to the corners? Ruths are. People that are nobodies, and they're the gleaners. People with no talent, you say, Reggie, I ain't got no talent. Ah, you make a good gleaner. You don't know how to have to run a combine. All them buttons and all that stuff scares me anyway. Now, you listen to me? Gleaners God don't need much. There's a sign up here. God does not ask about our ability but or inability, but about our availability. Are you willing to go glean? Who's called? You don't have to have a lot of talent. Don't have to. You say, well, I'm backward. Moses was too. God used him pretty good. You say, I'm bashful. God's people have always been. Lord, go get somebody else. I want to tell you tonight, if you win one soul to Jesus Christ, think what you've done for eternity. If you win one soul. Matt, you're over there at truck stop on Sunday morning. What are you doing? Gleaning. Just praying there's one guy sitting in a truck somewhere that'll say, hey, yeah, I'll take that track. I'll take that CD. Does the whole world know you're over there? Reggie don't even hardly think about you half the time. My mind's on preaching and church and everything else, but you're over there gleaning. And those of you people, I want you tonight, you say, where do I glean? Wherever you're at. You may not be called to be a missionary. You may not be called to be a preacher. But I will say this. America needs a million preachers who go to a small town and start a work and just say, Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to glean. And if I ever get a harvest, I'll be glad for that, but we're going to glean. And if we get a soul here and a soul there, sometimes people say, well, we ain't seen many saved. Hey, if we're gleaning, you ain't picking it up by the handfuls. But that grain's valuable, whatever it is. We need people that'll glean, help glean just by praying. You say, man, Reggie, I can't go nowhere. I've watched people, boy, down inside they're wanting to do something, but life, God just hadn't opened those doors. You know what you can glean by praying for those that are out there. You may never have big wagon loads. See one saved here, one there. Maybe you want to have a Bible club. Maybe you want to do a Bible school. Maybe you want to, again, a camp, a youth camp. Whatever it may be, but let's get in the gleaning business. Now, who watches over and cares for the gleaner? And I like this part of it. Did you know in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 9, he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go there after they have not charged the young men not to touch you. Can I tell you something? Do you know what the Bible says? Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Did you know if you can go glean, God will watch over you? Here Ruth is just a poor little old gleaner in the field, but God, the Savior's eye was on that little gleaner over in the corner. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how little your work may seem, your efforts may seem. If you're a gleaner for God, Jesus' eye is on you. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on us. In verse number 9, he's going to make sure you got water to drink. In verse number 12, he's going to make sure you're rewarded. He's in verse 14, there'll be a time when you're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he's going to reach you a meal. And verse 17, she did something. She gleaned until evening. The Bible said the night cometh when no man can work. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, I'm going to come home with this thing, and we're going to get out of here. Verse Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. I want you to get that verse, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous, listen to this, to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Remember, she, after him, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. There ain't nothing you're going to do serving God that God will forget and fail to reward you for. Your salvation is a gift, but your service and your gleaning will merit reward from God Almighty. I want to ask you tonight, are you called to the corner? You say, where at? Tomorrow you're going to go to work somewhere, probably. You are called to glean. I don't know how to be a blessing to somebody, to take Christ to somebody at school, in your business, in your neighborhood. We're talking about this jam. What's the jam? What's the jam project about? Gleaning. And I just want to tell you tonight that we're all called to the corners. We're not all called to be big shots. I don't want to be a big shot. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to glean till the Lord calls me home. I want to be faithful to serve him and do what I can for his cause while we can. And I want you tonight, you say, Reggie, I work over here at so-and-so, and there's just not much going on. Well, you can live for Jesus. And there might be one man God sends through there that you're going to work with and be a witness to. You may have a farm over here. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow. But I'm telling you, get involved in the gleaning business. Get involved somehow or another. You say, well, all I do is go buy groceries. Take you a track. Glean a little while you're going to the grocery store. You say, well, I just fill up my truck with gas. Take you a track and lay it on the top or stick it in with a credit card. Oh, you know, I don't know what you want to do, but get in the gleaning business. You ought to say with Ruth, let me now go to the field and glean. And she said, I know I'm going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where are you called to glean tonight? What corner? We're all called to be gleaners. And we can all do it. I wouldn't even know how to start a great big old John Deere big old deal. I wouldn't even know. I probably had to open the door on one. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can talk to somebody about the Lord. I sat yesterday by a young man. He walked up where we was working. He had tattoos up and down his arm. He come over and he started sharpening his chainsaw. And he looked pretty rough. And the Lord said, witness to him. And I said, Lord, he looks rough. Nice excuse. You're real tough. The Lord said, Reggie, what if you left here and he got killed working on this job? And I told you to witness this man. I said, okay, Lord. So he's sitting there sharpening the chainsaw, and I said, hey, what's your name? He told me what his name was. I said, where are you from? He told me. I said, I asked him about being related to somebody else that I knew he's connected to. And then I said, I want to ask you something. Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? Have you had your sins forgiven? He popped his head up and he looked at me and he said, yes, I've been saved. He wasn't real all in about it, but you could tell, boy, you tell I just, boom. And you know what? I don't know whether he's lying to me or not, but if he was, I planted some seed that might come up. Or if he's backslid, it might cause him to think about where he's at with God. Let me tell you something. Every once in a while, God's going to let you pick up a piece of grain. It's going to be a blessing to you. There's an old song, Bringing in the Sheaves. The Bible said, I want you to take your Bibles now, close out with Psalms 126. Psalms 126. All God is asking you tonight, Reggie's not asking you, I'm just a mailman. God is asking you tonight to get in the gleaning business. Psalms 126, verse number 5. I want to wait till everybody gets there. They that sow in tears shall do what?
Reap in joy.
There ain't nothing makes a church happier than seeing folks get saved. That's the happiest thing going. Watch verse 6. He that does what? Goeth forth. Folks, you can sit at the house talking about grain down there needs to be picked up all you want to, but till you get out of the house and go, ain't going to happen. He that goeth forth and weepeth. We're going to have to get a burden. Bearing precious seed shall what? Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing in the time. I don't know. Let's get in the gleaning business. Now, I don't do this very often. I'm going to tonight. You're here tonight, and you'd be like Ruth. Old brother Reuben Fields told me this. He said, Reggie, I was a 12-year-old boy plowing in Louisiana. And one day I looked up at God and I said, God, would you let me help you in your work? Lord, would you let me help you in your work? And boy, did God ever. Tonight, we're going to close this service this way. Would you ask God, would you say, Lord, let me go? And I'm going to ask you just to bow with me for prayer. And if you're interested in the gleaning business, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come find a place to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'd sure like to help you glean the corners. I don't need to be a big shot. I don't need some great big place. Lord, it may be where I work every day. It may be right in my home. It may be in Norwood. It may be in Mountain Grove, Mansfield. I don't know. But, Lord, I want to glean in your fields.